Right, what I want to speak on today, and I looked at it and I thought, I'm speaking to myself in this, so that's one of those things. I've titled it Past Your Fears, or Moving Past Your Fears. And sometimes we have to do that. And I think with the situation in the world today, whether it's in Myanmar, whether it's with the COVID, whatever it is, there's things in our lives that gives us fears. And even some of us are born with fear in the respect of, and people suffer fear through post-traumatic stress disorder and things like that. So I'm speaking out of Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 16, and I'm also using a few other scriptures as well. So let's move into it. In Vayikra, Leviticus 16, 12 to 13, it says, "And you shall take a fire holder filled with burning coals of fire from the altar before Yehovah, with his hands filled with sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yehovah, and the cloud of incense shall cover the lid of atonement, which is on the witness, lest he die." And further down in verse 17 it says, "And no man should be in the tent of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the set apart place until he comes out. And he shall make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel." And in Messianic Jews we read in chapter 9 verses 3 to 7, "And after the second veil, the part of the tent which is called the most set apart or most holy place, to which belongs the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid with all the sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that held the manna, the rod of Aharon that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of esteem, were overshadowing the place of atonement, above which we do not now speak in detail. But these having been prepared like this, the Kohanim always went into the first part of the tent, accomplishing the services." And then in Yochanan, John 20, 11 to 17, "But Miriam was standing outside by the tomb weeping. Then as she wept, she stooped down to the tomb and saw two messengers in white sitting, one at the head and one at the other, and the other at the feet where the body of Yeshua had been laid. And they said to her, 'Woman, why do you weep?' And she said to them, 'Because they took away my master, and I do not know where they laid him.' And having said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing, but she did not know that it was Yeshua. Yeshua said to her, 'Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek?' And thinking he was the gardener, she said to him, 'Master, if you have carried him away, say to me where you put him, and I shall take him away.' Yeshua said to her, 'Miriam.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Yeshua said to her, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my Elohim and your Elohim.'" When Yeshua died, the veil was torn. And the veil is a picture of fleshliness. And it's the fleshliness that is tearing. Fleshliness is a barrier when it makes us fear due to condemnation. As I said, I suppose I'm speaking to myself today, because being an autist, my life was full of fear and anxiety, of which I had to and still, to this very day, need to overcome. I would hate to think where I would be if it had not been for Yeshua in my life from a very incredibly young age. Yeshua carried his own blood into the holiest of holies, up in the heavenly temple. When we read his discussion with Miriam at the tomb, we hear him explain that she cannot touch him, for he had not yet ascended to the Father. This was in a direct reference to the fact that the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, could not be touched by people while he entered into the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle to make atonement for the blood. In Vayikra, Leviticus 16 and verse 17, it says, "And no man should be in the tent when he goes in to make atonement in that set apart place until he comes out." In other words, no person could be inside the tabernacle or set apart place. I believe, and I've said it before, Yeshua was going into the actual temple of heaven when he stopped to speak to Miriam. It was there in that temple that he would present his blood in order to make atonement and to deal with our sins that barred us from the presence of Yehovah. And it also barred Yah from working for us. We, you've all heard that the saying, if Yah is for us, who can be against us? If Yeshua had never made atonement for us at the Holy of Holies in heaven, we would never have Yah for us. Yeshua sits on the throne and he intercedes for us daily. There were three instances of tearing in the biblical text that we read today. We didn't read the one in the Yarden River, sorry, in the biblical text anyway. One is the Yarden River, or the Jordan River, and it was torn apart so the Hebrews could cross over to the Promised Land. Then we had the veil in the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom when Yeshua died. And Yeshua's body was torn in death through the lashings and the crown of thorns on his head. All three of these instances speak of the same message and they are all interconnected. The veil represents the flesh according to Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20. It says, "By a new and living way, which he, that is Yeshua, instituted for us through the veil, that is his flesh." So I'm not making this up. It's in scripture. When Yeshua died and the veil was torn, we see a picture of fleshliness being torn. Fleshliness is a barrier when it makes us fear due to condemnation. We have to move past the flesh. When we move past the flesh, we've got the soul, which is the conscience of a person, the mind, the will, the emotions. The conscience is deep inside, and it's the part that makes us feel guilty or condemned. I always used to sing the Jiminy Cricket song to my children to let their conscience be their guide. I don't know if you remember it. Maybe some of you are too young and you wouldn't know it. But our conscience has a special place in Yah's concern over our lives. And even whether we know whether it's right or wrong, our conscience will lead us. Similarly, past the Yarden River were the giants in Canaan that the Hebrews feared. They wouldn't go in. It caused them to go round and round in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't like the giants that were there. For that reason, the Yarden can be seen as a barrier of fears. Our flesh, fearful flesh will keep us out from what we fear. Fear could have stopped the Kohanim from entering the water of the swollen river as they carried the ark across the Yarden. A battered wife, and I know we've had another death this week. We've had two deaths this week on the Gold Coast of women being battered and killed. Not one, but two. And a battered wife, and they said of the one most recently, just in the next suburb over, that they hardly ever saw the woman. The woman said for 3 to 4 years she'd only ever seen her about twice. And there's a reason for that. A battered wife hates herself. She won't go outside because she's been condemned and criticized. She doesn't like who she is. So she thinks that everybody thinks of her as that person who's battering her thinks of her. Especially if they don't have Yeshua in their lives. They've got no one to turn to. I lived the life of a battered wife for over 20 years. Without Yah, I probably would not be here today. Abused children come to feel useless. How do I know? I was raised with an iron rod. I still have the physical scars to this day, which is why I'd probably marry young to get out of the abusive childhood and went from the frying pan into the fire. Because I wasn't given the role models I should have been given. Condemnation then attacks these victims and they become fearful. My undiagnosed autism did not help my fearfulness and my anxieties because it wasn't acknowledged when I was a child. I was just told to get over it. Such people, without a true knowledge of Yah's infinite love, try to be believers, but they find it difficult and they fall because they can't pray. They don't feel worthy enough to pray to Yah. Condemnation is the worst enemy of mankind because it hinders the walk of most who suffer from it. I feel blessed now because of my autism, because without it, I would not have been a loner in social circumstances. Therefore, I would not have spent most of my life alone studying Yehovah's word and learning to speak and listen to him through it. I feel blessed because of it. If people condemn their children all the time, they will be unhappy people as they grow older. We have an unhappy world today because of condemnations. And I'm sure you've all heard or maybe even said, if only. If only things were different. If only I enjoyed life. If only I was loved. The greatest need in the world is to be loved. But being married does not necessarily mean you are loved. Been there, done that. Like Prince Charles once said, whatever love means. We knew then that Princess Diana was never loved. It was whatever love means. A lot of men his age and older did not know what love was. They'd never experienced it as a child, nor witnessed it from their parents. Many children of the early 40s were damaged because of World War II. Their fathers never came home. They were raised by single mothers with no financial support, or those that did come home were battle scarred. It was difficult times for children as there were no real role models were there for them. You could see men with literal shell shock, as we called it in those days, walking down the street. And it was sad to see. It is a class today as PTSD or post-traumatic stress disability, as I prefer to call it, and there's many suffering from it. Hasatan attacked the concept of Yehovah's love for Yeshua HaMashiach when he attempted Yeshua in Matityahu chapter 4 and verse 3. It says in the trier, which is the adversary, came and said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, command these stones to become bread. He did the same with Hava in the Garden of Eden in Bereshit chapter 3 verses 4 to 6. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall certainly not die. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The worst saying in the world that you can say to anyone is shame on you. When someone errs, they make a mistake, they are in the midst of their own condemnation. And for one to tell them that they are shameful is to heap much more condemnation on top of them. Yeshua took his blood past the veil. There is a message here. When we suffer condemnation, it is our consciences that suffer. There is only one way to stop the condemnation in the conscience. Your conscience fights and you'll try to quieten it. It still says, no, no, you're wrong, therefore I'm useless. You try another way, but it doesn't happen. But there is one way that will ease the conscience. If you take the same blood Yeshua took and go past your fears and touch your conscience with the truth that Yeshua forgives. Yeshua forgives you. It doesn't matter what you do. If you give it to him, he will forgive you. Canaan was the land where they were to enter their rest. In Messianic Jews chapter 3, verses 11 to 18, it says, in my anger, I swore that they would not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers, so that there will not be in any one of you an evil heart lacking trust, which could lead you to apostatize from the living Elohim. Instead, keep exhorting each other every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you will become hardened by the deceit of sin. For we have become sharers in the Messiah, provided, however, that we hold firmly to the conviction we began with, right through until this goal is reached. Now, where it says today, if you hear your voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the bitter quarrel, who were the people? Who were the people who, after they heard, quarreled so bitterly? All of those whom Moshe brought out of Egypt, and with whom was Yehovah disgusted for 40 years? Those who sinned. Yes, they fell dead in the wilderness. And to whom was it he swore that they would not enter his rest? Those who were disobedient. If we are obedient, we will always enter our rest. There is only one way into this place of rest, and it is with the blood of Yeshua and obedience to the Torah of Moshe. If you try to overcome your fears without Yeshua in your life, you will fail. You will only run away, hiding again, and go from one hiding place to another. But remember, every time you go to that hiding place, you're taking that condemnation with you. You're not getting rid of it. But if you have the blood of Yeshua and the truth of his atoning sacrifice, and you truly believe in its power to forgive your sin in Yehovah's eyes, then your conscience can be purged and cleansed of condemnation. And then, of course, we have Yehoshua, or Joshua, at the Yarden River. In Yehoshua chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, it says, and Yehoshua, and it came to be, when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Yarden, with the Kohanim bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and those bearing the Ark came to the Yarden, and the feet of the Kohanim bearing the Ark dipped in the water of edge of the water. Now the Yarden overflows all its banks during all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap far away at Adam, the city that's beside Zarathan. And the waters going down into the sea of the Arava, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed opposite Jericho, and the Kohanim bearing the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Yarden. And all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the nation had completely passed over the Yarden. Yehoshua was the Hebrew counterpart for Yeshua. Their names are both the same when you read them in the Hebrew. And Yehoshua was told to have the Ark of the Covenant held up high. Upon the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, covered with the blood, since the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest, made atonement every year to remove Israel's sin by sprinkling it on the mercy seat with the blood of the sacrifice. The blood of forgiving power was held up high. This represents faith. We need to hold our faith up high in Yehovah's eyes, to look down upon, so that we can cross over our borderline. The barrier that keeps us out, the fears that gather together as a barricade to keep us out of Yehovah's will, can be breached as we step right into our fears and trusting in the blood to move Yah to help us. We have to make the move. If you fail so much and you're afraid to go in again, don't be. This time you have the blood. Fail is a further attempt in learning. It means try again. And if need be, try again. You will eventually get through. You won't fail because Yehovah will come on the scene and will even use Yeshua to carry you. Remember, the Hebrews thought they were as grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants of Canaan? And we will always be grasshoppers. Giants will always be bigger than we are. And you don't have to be a real giant to be bigger than me. I'm sure most 9-year-olds, children, fit that bill at the moment. But giants fall before grasshoppers who trust in Yehovah. The key is your faith. You will have faith if you believe you needed Yeshua to die for you so that Yehovah's influence would work for you. So I said, remember, Yeshua is sitting at the right hand of Yehovah, interceding for you daily. When you admit you are a sinner outside of Yehovah and need forgiveness only by Yeshua's blood, then Yah will work for you. And even as a believer, we have to do this daily. We all make mistakes. We all do things we don't intend to do or say things we don't intend to say. And we can ask forgiveness for that. Maybe sometimes we sin purposefully. Yes, we can ask forgiveness for that. Once we've realised it, look at King David. He did it and he was forgiven and known as a man after Yehovah's own heart. As a believer, we have to continually ask for forgiveness to get back on track. This is grace working for us. You have connections only by the blood of Yeshua. Sin stops him from helping you. So the blood removes these sins and he can help. But you have to have faith. Yeshua took his blood and splashed it on the mercy seat when he went into the heaven's holiest place. And that blood is still there today. It is there right now and it's there for you. So we have to step into our fears as the water of the Yarden was flooding its banks, and you step into it even though the waters were swelling at the harvest time, that you may stay those there momentarily. Remain standing. Do not drop your faith. The fears will remove themselves, and instead of fearing, you will enter your rest. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 3 and verse 14, it says, "For we have become partakers of Messiah if we hold fast the beginning of our trust firm to the end." Our faith or our trust in the beginning of our walk is usually very strong, where we feel we can move mountains, and then Hasatan comes along and tries to knock the confidence out of our sails. Sha'ul is saying hold fast so that the beginning trust will stay right until the end of our lives. In our current world situation, with the Great Reset being transitioned through masks, lockdowns, vaccination passports for buying, selling, entering places of entertainment, restaurants, gyms, and every transaction of our lives, now is the time to more than ever to kick fear out the door and hold fast to our trust in Yehovah to the end, whatever that may be. And I'm not denying we don't know what it will be, but we just have to trust Yah. Can you picture the Kohanim holding up the ark but dropping it in fear and running as the waves hit their legs when they put their first foot into the Yarden River? They would have not left any chance for Yehovah to do his work of creating miracles. Yehovah will take over and fight our battles if we stand by faith. You know the stories of Gideon, how he broke the 300 jars containing the fire, and the enemy Midian were defeated, and how King David ran at Goliath and slew the giant. These men moved past their fears. Yehovah removes the fears, tears the veil, and fights the enemy for us. As I've said many times, we need to turn back into Eden's garden. Our consciences have been stirred horribly since we left when Adam was cast out. Condemnation struck our lives due to all the sins we committed. But there is a way to pass the gate of Kerovim and the flaming sword. In Romans 8 and verse 1 it says, "There is then, now, no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk accordingly to the flesh, but according to the Spirit," or the Ruach. We can approach Yehovah by a new and living way. Yeshua is our door. His blood shed on the stake is our ticket past our fears. Only faith can remove the veil. In Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 23 it says, "So brothers, having boldness to enter into the set apart place by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which he instituted for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart in completeness of belief, having our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and our bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold fast the confession of our expectation without yielding, for he who promised is trustworthy." This is the meaning behind the truths that blood sprinkles our consciences and we rest. Those who have fear will never be saved completely. When gloom and sadness whisper, "You've sinned," there is no use praying because you're looking away from Yeshua. And he tells us to say, "I see a crimson stream of blood." The fear that says you are not good enough simply wilts away and you enter past your fears. This is not a once-off application. If you are like me, going into a new place, meeting new people, stepping out of my comfort zone is a daily walk. We have to daily enter past our fears and trust Yehovah in all things. We have to tell our consciences to get behind us and walk past it. Otherwise, we will become vegetables withering away in a corner. We would not live, but we would just exist. I have done it, so can you. I still struggle with it, but I get there. I'm happy to pray for anyone after the service who needs help in entering past their fears. So if you want me to pray for you, just come down the front. And I can't cope with anyone touching my mouth. So going to the dentist is trauma for me. And just being there is trauma. I have to get an x-ray, which I've had for 6 months now, because he wants to look at the x-ray to see if there's anything there. There's no problems, but he just wants me to get this x-ray. I have driven past the x-ray place 4 times so far. I still haven't got in there, but I will, because I've never been in that place before. It's a door I've never entered before. But it's, as I said, I'm talking to myself. It's a place, it's just the fact that I know that they're going to be doing something with my mouth. And I know that's trauma. So I will be doing it probably this week. But we all have fears that we've got to get through. That's just the one I'm living with at the moment. But Yah is in control and I will get there. I promise you. Not always the first time. That's why we have to, that's why it's never a fail. It's just a further attempt in learning. I know I will get there. Yah's in control. So has anyone got any questions before we move to the remembrance service? Nope. So let's move forward.